President Obama has renewed his campaign to fix what he's called the US's broken immigration system. But to date, no real progress has been made to reform the system, largely due to strong opposition in Congress. Obama says he would like to see legislation passed that would provide a pathway to American citizenship for around 11 million illegal immigrants. But what are the chances of this happening? And when it comes to the US Church, what are its views on this thorny issue? And what impact is the current system having upon the lives of the illegal migrants themselves? To find out more, I spoke to Kevin Appleby, Director of Migration Policy at the US Conference of Catholic Bishops.
Well, it's a very difficult issue here in the United States. Currently, we have a 9% unemployment rate, which always cast doubt on the immigration question. We've also are just coming out of phase in our country's history where national security is a big issue, given the 9/11 attacks of almost 10 years ago. So when you have a down economy and when you have national security concerns, certainly immigration is not at the top of everyone's list. Usually when it's an economic upturn, there's a robust economy, then immigration becomes more important to a lot of the American public, but they're more focused now on jobs and security. So it makes it tougher to get Congress and the president to focus on this and spend a lot of political capital and political time on the issue to get it done.
President Obama, of course, did promise to prioritize immigration reform legislation during his first year in office. But now, of course, we've got the Republicans who control the House of Representatives. So do you think it's just really been largely put on the back burner? As you say, it's not seen as a vote winner.
Well, immigration is always going to be an issue. It just is looked at in different ways. In this Congress, which will go this year and into next, immigration will be debated. It will just be debated in different terms. Those in the House and others will want to promote an enforcement policy where they increase enforcement actions around the country, increase border enforcement, for example. And for those of us who want a broader reform, including the president, we're going to have to try to oppose those efforts and say, if you want these enforcement initiatives in place, you're going to have to look at the whole situation and the whole issue and include it in a comprehensive immigration reform bill. So even though it doesn't look like immigration will be up in this Congress because of other priorities such as the budget, the issue will come up no matter what, because there will be those in Congress who want to solve it away that the church might disagree with only enforcement measures. What the church says is, look, we've got to solve this problem comprehensively. Let's bring people out of the shadows. So you're going to see a debate. Whether it comes out to the right conclusion or not is what the question is.
And when it comes to the American population as a whole, I'm talking here about the non-immigrant population, how much support is there for grasping this nettle and trying to enact a comprehensive reform?
Well, even though from our polling and from other polling, the majority of Americans agree that immigration is an important problem and should be solved in a comprehensive manner. Other polls show that it's not high on the priority list for Americans right now. It's low on the list behind several other issues. So if Congress were to take this up now, for example, and spend a lot of time on it and put aside budget negotiations and other important matters, the American public would say, why are you doing this now when we need to do other things? So that's really the biggest political challenge for those of us who would like to see immigration reform, is not necessarily that the public doesn't agree with our approach, but that they don't agree that it should be a high priority right now, that we should take care of the basic economy, basic jobs, and other issues before we move to immigration.
And when it comes to lay Catholics, do they agree with the church's view that this problem does need to be tackled in a comprehensive way?
Yes, they do. And again, you know, with the caveat that it depends on what question they're asked. Catholics are reflected in large part the American public as well. But polls that we have done show that there is strong support among the Catholic population for comprehensive immigration reform. In fact, Catholics poll a bit higher than other Americans on agreeing with the church on the issue. But the real challenge is getting those who are in the middle of the debate, who might agree with us on the substance, to pick up the phone again to call their legislator to tell them to solve the problem, because they might think there should be other issues addressed. So getting that groundswell of grassroots support going, where their legislators are hearing about this issue nonstop and are really forced to do something about it, is really what the challenge is. So again, Catholics would agree with us by and large on the substance, but getting the grassroots motivation going is what we need to do.
Now, Obama, of course, famously said that the present system is a broken system. How is this situation then impacting on the 11 million plus illegal immigrants in the U.S.?
Well, the strongest concern of the U.S. Catholic bishops on this issue is family breakdown and family separation. What we're seeing here are immigrant families, over half of whom have U.S. citizen children, are being separated because the parents are being taken away in enforcement actions by local police, by federal law enforcement, and deported, and then the families are separated. As the Holy Father mentioned in his remarks on the way to the United States when he visited in April 2008, family separation is probably the largest social consequence of irregular migration. And that is a big issue, not only for U.S. bishops, but also for the bishops in Mexico and in Latin America, because it's their families, by and large, that are being affected and their people that are being affected. So we see that every day here in the U.S., in our hospitals, in our social service networks, in our schools, where immigrant families are being separated and children are being separated. And that's really why, from a moral standpoint, that the system needs to be fixed, that we need to increase the number of visas that are available for low-skilled workers, and we also need to bring the 11 million out of the shadows so they can fully contribute in our communities.
And is it true that in the absence of a comprehensive reform, you know, many states and localities are just taking the responsibility of enforcing immigration law into their own hands? You know, what are some of the most glaring abuses that are being committed in this way?
Yes, this is another concern of how the issue is playing out, the devolution of immigration enforcement authority to the states and localities across the country. Under the U.S. system, of course, the federal government has the plenary power to enforce federal immigration law, but under a series of programs that have been created, now they are, in effect, deputizing local law enforcement to do that. And the concern is that, first of all, it takes away from the resources of local law enforcement to go after real criminals. It really undermines the trust that's been built over generations between local law enforcement and immigrant communities in the country. And in some cases, it can lead to law enforcement using profiling, racial profiling, to apprehend people because of their legal status. So it really has a detrimental effect on communities across the country, the relationships of those communities, and it also impacts how families are reunited or not, or broken up.
And what do undocumented immigrants themselves have to say about it? Obviously, they're not going to come out and say their names, but there must be some kind of feedback that you receive.
Well, certainly from people we've talked to, from even surveys that have been done of undocumented persons, they just want a chance. They want an opportunity to be part of the community, to be in the system. Surprisingly, a lot of undocumented immigrants will file tax returns in the United States because they want to show that they're doing their part. So this enforcement, this increased enforcement on the local level, for example, has them hiding in the shadows more, has them living in fear more, and they're unable to participate fully. So they would be more than happy to, as we would say in our proposal, to work, to pay a fine, to learn English, to do what they need to do to get on the right side of the law and to be part of the community and earn their way to citizenship. And I think we find that universal among many of the undocumented immigrants that have lived here, especially if they've lived here for 5 years or longer, and the majority have lived in the United States at least that long.
Right, you talked about your proposal. Can you tell us more about the church's views on this and what role it plays in trying to ease the plight for these undocumented immigrants?
Yes, for years now, the church has proposed a comprehensive proposal which would, number one, first and foremost, bring the 11 million undocumented out of the shadows, put them on a path to citizenship, and they would have to meet certain conditions along the way, and it would take them some time, but it would give them a legal status, which would allow them to assert their rights and would protect them from deportation. We also believe that there needs to be some examination and some reform in our future flows of immigrants that are coming. Can we create more legal avenues for migrants in the future to come legally so that they're not crossing the desert, relying on unscrupulous smugglers, perhaps dying in the desert? They might have a visa where they can come, they can work and go home, or they can have an option to stay. That way, you sort of limit some of the exploitation that goes on with migrants in this part of the world. And then ultimately, what the church promotes and is sort of unique in the debate here in the United States is we need to look at why people are coming in the first place. We need to look at the U.S. economic policies that may be inadvertently displacing persons in poor countries and not helping with job creation in those countries. Because ultimately, the bishops say that immigration should be a choice, not a necessity, and people have a right to remain in their homeland and work in dignity and support their families and dignity. So that's really what the church's long-term answer to this issue is. It's the church's answer to a border wall is economic development so that we don't see people risking their lives in the desert and leaving their families to try to make a living.
And when we look at this figure of around 11 million illegal immigrants, what percentage of them come from Central or Latin America or Latinos?
It's a majority. It's about 60% or a little bit higher that come from Latin America and Mexico. But there is a large population of Asians that are here. Certainly Europeans make up part of that percentage. So it's not solely migration from the South. It's still really nationalities from all over the world that come here. And let me just add that it's not simply an economic issue why people come. People come for political reasons as well. I mean, with governments around the world that are perhaps oppressing or persecuting their own people or that have problems with the rule of law, there are those who come here because they believe that the United States democracy is more stable, that there's rule of law here, that they could perhaps raise their family more in peace than where they live.
Now, do you think you could share with us briefly any real-life anecdotes that you've heard of that illustrate the sometimes desperate plight of illegal immigrants or examples of how they're being exploited by unscrupulous employers?
Well, one issue that I can point to, which is a big issue here in the States right now, is young people who have been brought here when they were young. They were children with their parents. We call them the dream students, named after legislation which is being considered here in the States. And they're really stateless children. They didn't come here on their own volition. They didn't break the law on their own volition. They came with their parents. So our argument to the elected officials is, you know, the United States is the only place they've ever known. Let's give them a chance to have a life here. Let's legalize them. And they're a very aesthetic group. There are numerous stories of these young students who excelled in school, have joined the military, or engineers or architects, and can be leaders in their communities, but the Congress has yet to say, yeah, you're right, we need to invest in these people, we need to give them legal status. So that's an issue that's really close to the bishop's heart, and the bishops have been working on to get about 700,000 of these young people in the United States who are really stateless to get them on a path to citizenship.
I was speaking to Kevin Appleby, Director of Migration Policy at the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops.